Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to you with your host, Avenger Satanus, and the Beast.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm Beast Zeno, and this is my co-host, Avenger Satanus. Avenger, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good,
huh? Letting the bastards wear me down.
Definitely some interesting bullshit that happened this week.
Yep. You want to fill our listeners in on what went down?
Sure. It was yesterday early morning. I want to say somewhere in the wee hours of between midnight and 3 or 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Satanic International, Zach, which we had on our show last week, and you, High Priest Avenger Satanus, your channels were fished, and then the person who fished them took the account over, changed the overall appearance of the page, and demanded that you guys make a video sucking on a banana with Dog May 20F is God written on your forehead, some kind of a fucking tinfoil hat on.
Yes.
What this jackass didn't realize is neither of you, neither of you really give a flying fuck about that channel so much that you'd be willing to degrade yourself to doing and meeting this guy's demands.
Right.
So, there's a few thoughts that I have in my mind going right now about this whole deal. Now, I personally was not, affected by this. However, my YouTube channel is a whole whopping 30 fucking subscribers anyway. But either way, it still really pisses me off because I know how much hard work you guys put into making these videos and how much time is spent doing it. With my whole 11 videos and most of them being right around, 1 to 3 minutes. I understand the difficulty that goes into making these videos. And, it's a real effort. And, it can be a very lucrative effort if it's done properly. But that doesn't change the fact that it's a real effort. So, and I know that you personally, are just willing to, pick up and start over, and you really don't necessarily, you're not really necessarily bogged down by this whole problem, but I myself think that a guy like this needs to be dealt with. He needs to be served. So, I was going to upload a YouTube video last night, and I came to realize my whopping 30 subscribers, it wouldn't get very far, but I know the Ooze has got a much broader listening audience. So I'm going to put it on here instead. What I want, I'm mandating a headhunt. I want this motherfucker's ass beaten. I want a video of it up on YouTube. And I think that anybody who walks the left-hand path understands the kind of, trolling, immature behavior that this guy's done and that he needs to be dealt with and severely. And since YouTube hasn't taken any, measures to, prosecute this guy, it needs to be taken to another level. Martial law, so to speak.
Yep. The Law of the Jungle. But, I mean, I know that he's going to be punished by, you know, the great old ones, if not else, if not anyone else. So I'm not really worried about that. And in fact, as we talked about before with the whole lemons in the lemonade analogy, I'm trying to see this as a blessing in disguise because, you know, I had some really old videos up there that some of them didn't pertain to the anything, any kind of cult business. I mean, some were just for fun. Some were kind of downright stupid and extremely amateurish. Just kind of low quality. And I don't know, before this, I even had half a mind to start over or start deleting some videos of my past. And just, I don't know, start over with a clean slate. But it would have been nice to have the friends and subscribers that I did work pretty hard at acquiring. I mean, to be honest, a lot of them are probably just bed weight and you know, fat that needed to be trimmed anyway. But, you know, they were there, and they got me more views, I guess. So I can't knock them too much. But anyway, all I'm trying to say is that, yeah, he will be punished. I really can't believe that YouTube and Google, like, just let this shit go and don't really give a shit about it. But
I have seen. Please finish.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I'm just gonna carry on, and we're gonna create like a new channel that's, you know, it's gonna be 10 times better. It's gonna be directly aligned with the ooze here, and we're gonna get more people than just Bezino and I. It's gonna be more of a collaborative. Cooperative kind of channel. And so it's just going to be videos from us and probably Satanic International, Zach, and, you know, maybe one or two other people. And, you know, it's just going to be 10 times better than it was. So really, maybe we should be, you know, thanking this guy, even though he's a colossal jackass and he's probably going to be in prison and raped 10 times a day. Very soon. Okay, I'm done.
Awesome. Let's for a minute talk about the idea of this new YouTube channel, because it started off with me thinking about, you know, you and I just doing a collaborative extension of views, and you kind of broadened it by saying, well, let's invite other people who have expertise in the field of the left-hand path to also participate in this project. And
right.
So, I mean, I personally, I think that's a great idea. You know, if we have Zach representing self-styled Satanism, and not that he would probably do it, but you never know, Jason King representing the postmodern movement, and perhaps Matt, the Dark Fool doing, you know, more of a, you know, unity type deal, unity through diversity type deal, because that seems to kind of be his, you know, his deal, the strength of numbers bit, like he was talking about last week.
Right.
You know, and then maybe get a few other experts in different arenas come and, you know, contribute as well. But I mean, it's really going to depend on, first of all, I think the character of the person that wants to participate, or that we ask to participate, you know, whether they would be trustworthy and able to follow the procedures that we'll have to put in place to kind of prevent this kind of incident from happening again with you know, the new channel. So, I mean, it's really going to be it's going to be kind of a build of trust, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We talked about upping the security measures, and also, I wouldn't mind, you know, duplicating a lot of our videos on other places. But yeah, to have a channel where you know, it's not just us going around and doing stuff, but it's people that have been on the news before and that are down with what we're doing. And I don't know, either want to make a name for themselves or want to carve out their own eon in reality. And then we talked a little bit about how this is going to be aligned or affiliated with the Cthulhu cult. And, you know, obviously it's going to have a strong connection with the cult of Cthulhu because Hugh's Left Hand Path Talk radio show is a part of the cult. You and I are obviously big players in the cult. And Hughes represents Left Hand Path, and, you know, we both see, I know we're biased, but we both see the cult of Cthulhu as sort of the latest and greatest advancement of Left Hand Path thinking and philosophy and theory in today's postmodern world. So, but not necessarily everybody who's going to be a part of this channel or posting videos or talking with us or even on the news here is going to be directly affiliated with the Cthulhu cult. So there's going to be some splash over effect and some, like, cross-pollination, but it's not going to be like, you know, like cultists only, you know. It's we're very laid back, very inclusive, but we also don't mind working with people that have nothing to do with our organization. You know, if they have something to contribute on a personal level or a religious, organizational, spiritual, philosophical level, then so be it. You know, let's work in the same current, and, you know, we're not asking people to convert over to us, and we're not really hardcore seeking members or giving people the hard sell. You know, if people want to join us or align with us, awesome. If they don't, hey, that's cool too. Maybe we can work together. You know, if not, then okay, we'll go our separate ways. We don't want to create new waves or animosity. But if people fuck with us, then, you know, BC, you know, will take them out. That's just
that's the plan.
That's right.
And I'm not beyond hiring a hitman to do it.
Yes. I don't know if you know or if I told you about this, but when I was younger, probably high school age, that was actually one of my preferred career choices. Is I, like, seriously wanted to be a hitman. I ordered books and everything on, like, the life of a hitman and, like, the training required and what all that would entail and even, like, kind of how to do it. So I was thinking seriously, like, yeah, hitman. That might be the direction my life goes in.
Right. Well, I think in a way, whether you realize it or not, that goal did manifest, just not in a traditional manner. I mean, if you really think about what we're really trying to do in terms of the cult of Cthulhu, you know, we're trying to keep the fat and muscle ratio, as we've come to refer to it, and to a certain percentage, and that requires cutting off or killing, so to speak, certain dead weight.
Yep. The antagonistic cells in the body that you know, are causing cancer and you know, fighting the prevalent order and, you know, just trying to cause all sorts of problems. You know, we're trying to kill those cells. And I destroy people with black magic. I don't get paid huge sums of money yet for it, but, you know, but really our work isn't about the money anyway. It's about, you know, higher spiritual truths and reaching deeper states of consciousness and eventually becoming like God. So, I guess, in a way, you know, that whole glamorized hitman life is a little on the shallow side. But it would be fun and a way to make money, I guess. But yeah, what we do now is kind of like that. It's similar.
Similar. I'm not saying that you can, you know, put it match it right up to it, and you're going to see all the same traits. I'm just saying there are some features of
right.
it that
right.
could be related to each other.
Right. And I think personality-wise, it takes a certain type of person to, you know, just kill someone dispassionately in cold blood and get paid for it. And I think it takes a certain personality type with moral flexibility and maybe sociopathic tendencies to be a leading member in a cult like ours.
Hmm. Fuck. My lighter died.
I can hear it dying.
What? You can hear it dying?
I can hear it dying.
Yeah.
Screaming its last breaths. Oh, my God. I will no longer light the beast's cigarettes. Curse my uselessness.
All right. Fortunately, I always have a backup.
Well,
you know, I'm always a plan B kind of guy. I don't know why that is. I have an A, a B, and most of the time a C, D, E, and F, too.
Well, that's good. I just try to get by with my quick thinking and rapid problem solving. But most of the time, I go in with, like, a half appraised plan A, and that's it. That's all I got. So shit goes down and plan A falls apart. I'm quickly, like, trying to think of a plan B, like, in my head, like, as shit is falling apart, which I can usually do. But that's good.
I have no difficulty doing that, but what has actually occurred with me, sometime around, I don't know, 2000, I mean, I had played chess before, but around the year 2000, I started really getting serious about playing the game of chess. And I found that a lot of people actually, especially ones that have been to prison, they tend to be really good at playing chess. And so I developed, this strategy of alternate planning to kind of improve my chess game, and it's just kind of carried over into everything else in my life.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So, I mean,
who do you play with? Usually, like, people you know, or do you play online somehow, or?
Well, I've gone a couple of ways, actually. About a year ago, I retired a Yahoo ID that was called Phantom Chess Master, and I used to actually go into the Yahoo chess rooms, and my whole game was just destroying people. You know, I would go up against these guys who had ratings that were 200 or 300 points above mine. And, in the end of it all, you know, I end up serving them their ass because I'm not one of those people that has to go with these classical trainings and classical thoughts. I mean, the way chess is developed today, if your opponent moves said piece, then you only have one real option if you go by classical training. You know, this is
right.
the appropriate response to this particular move, but I'm not like that. I have more of like an Alexander Alekheim kind of vibe to me. I try to think outside of the box, and I'm willing to throw my queen right down the center of the board and let them cannibalize it if that means in the end of it all that my little pawn is ass-fucking the king.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'll even put it out there that anybody who wants to play me in a game of chess at any point in time, I'll be more than happy to do it. You may beat me. I doubt it, but you may beat me. And I'm not going to be a poor sport about it. I'll say, let's play again, because I like playing against the people I'm going to lose against more than I like winning.
Cool. Very cool. I see similarity with that to poker, like No Limit Texas Hold'em.
I think that's really, for me, that's like the new chess. And there's a lot of similarities and a lot of things you can draw from, just like chess, with real life and the things that we do in the cults. So that's cool. I mean, we both kind of have a parallel there.
Yes, we do.
And Jason King, also, he's I don't know if you saw that on the forum.
I did see that he was a poker player.
You did see that?
Yes, I did see that. I thought that was really cool.
I would
love to know when you guys decide to sit down at the same table. I want to watch.
That would be very cool. Actually, we could make a video of that.
That would be awesome. I think, you know, although the conversation is very interesting in the mode that it's going, I think it might be a good idea for us to, you know, at least touch on the topic a little bit. So,
you think?
Yeah, I don't know how much time we've actually invested in this, but...
It's 12:41 right now. My time.
12:41. Oh, it's... Really? So we've got about 20 minutes left in the show?
No, we've got about 39 minutes in the show.
Oh, 12:31. I thought you said 41. Remember, I'm a deathbed.
No, I said 12:21.
21. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Gee, I'm very deaf. I didn't catch you twice. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this. Well, me and you talk a lot more than just on the news, so you probably are aware of this. But I'm so deaf that I make an entire guess at almost everything that's said to me.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 75% hearing loss in my left ear and a 55% hearing loss in my right ear. And that was, the last time I was tested was 17. That was before my allergies went bad. My ears were always stuffed up from being congested.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing I'm probably pretty close to deaf as a doornail.
I wouldn't say that.
But anyway, on the drugs and sacrament, Ed, you know, did you have a particular direction in which you wanted to go with this show?
Not really. Just see where stuff takes us. I do have one little story that I could relate. This is back, this is my college years. I think I was a sophomore in college, and I was going to the college here in the same town that I work in, Madison, Wisconsin. It was like a smaller Catholic college. And I had some friends that, you know, we partied a lot and went to parties and you know, drank and stuff, and some of them smoked weed, and I did that every once in a while. And there was this one guy, I think it was my roommate that had it, but I don't know, looking back, I guess he was kind of a dealer or something, but because he just had drugs all the time. I rarely partook as much as other people, but there were a few times that he got a hold of some acid or LSD. I remember the first time I took it, we went to a party, and it was just a very strange experience, and it kind of illuminated me to a couple of different topics. One is that belief is reality, because especially when you're, you know, tripping on LSD, you know, whatever people tell you, you generally have a likelier chance of believing whatever it is. Reality just seems more malleable and controllable, and you're just more influenced by outside things and inside things too. Your internal state can affect your hallucinations or your trip or whatever. So there was that. But then also I sort of got this message or this vision or something, I guess towards the peaking part of the LSD experience. And that was that everybody suffers. It was kind of like a voice that, not really as much of a voice, but more of a resounding realization that was going off in my head.
that, and that was, that felt to me like one of the keys of the universe, or one of the great truths of mankind, is that everybody suffers. And from then on, you know, that stuck with me, and that just became a part of my own paradigm and my own philosophy. And the problem solver that I am, I tried to figure out, you know, if that is true, why is it true? And then how can we avoid that? How can we avoid suffering? Or if we do have to suffer, how can we profit best with our own, you know, pain and misery and humiliation and ridicule and all this other stuff. So
that's interesting.
And after that, it was just, you know, more random stuff, you know, head trippy stuff and, you know, interesting things like that and the walls melting, you know, but that first experience that really opened my eyes, and I know I'm not the first, you know, a lot of people have had, you know, weird visions or, you know, spiritual callings and things like that on LSD and other drugs, you know, mushrooms, even pot probably, things like that.
Right. Well, I actually, I have a couple of stories. Unlike you, I really did a deep stint in my teen years within the psychedelics category. I mean, I spent a couple of hardcore years dedicated to psychedelics. And being a person that's always been, I guess, spiritual oriented, you know, I really had some interesting, unique experiences happen. As a matter of fact, my first introduction to ritual magic happened during a mushroom trip. I was overhanging out with this guy I knew, and he was really into the Golden Dawn. And he had this book. It was red with gold foil on it, and there were some ceremonies inside of it. And he wanted to, since we had a whole group of people there, he wanted to try it while we were all tripping and see what the effect would be. And so we all willingly participated, which there were probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 of us. And though I can't remember much about the actual ritual, and I can't remember much about the results, the internal reflection and the manifestation of it within myself was, I think, something that was so notable that I came back to it. I came back to studying about it, and even during my atheistic periods in my life, I still used it as a philosophical tool to understanding myself. So, you know, in that aspect, you know, you're talking about a 15-year-old boy, you know, doing this thing, and I mean, really having some profound thoughts and feelings. I mean, I came to realize that I was more than just this machine long before I ever met the Cult of Cthulhu's philosophy. Give me a moment, I'm passing through my place of business, so I need to... Anyhow, so that's one of many stories. Another thing that happened, like I said, I went through a period in time where it was almost a daily dedication, you know, taking at least a 10 strip and seeing what manifested from there. I went through a period where a friend of mine and I we'd drop, and in the wee hours of the morning, we would jump the fence into this park that was local, that to me, I don't know, I've just always had this kind of magical connection to this park. There is a temple mount, an old American Indian temple mount within this park. And the things that I saw while under the influence of LSD within this park, and the wee hours of the morning, I still, today have trouble figuring out how to describe it. There were, things moving in the shadows, and there were, realizations that were made in terms of the interconnectivity of man to the world. And I guess these psychedelic experiences that I had ultimately have been, the building stones of my current philosophies. So that's really what I've got on this.
Cool. I think a lot of other people can relate to that. I think, using drugs in a spiritual sacrament kind of way can open the mind and, rend the consciousness open into, new vistas of reality and that's the kind of thing that a left-hand path practitioner or, black magician or what have you wants to do. They want to see a different side of reality. They want to see what's behind the curtain or beneath the surface of things. And drugs is one of them, especially hallucinogenics. Obviously, things can easily go too far, and then they become very counterproductive. But and I don't think it's necessary, but I wouldn't dissuade someone from trying something like, mushrooms or LSD or, once or twice I tried like hash and opium, I think. And that was good. That was kind of like pot, but it was a little deeper, a little more mellow, a little more of a head trip than just marijuana. So,
right.
But I guess we shouldn't be. Well, we have the disclaimer at the end of the show saying, "Hey, don't listen to us. We just talk about stuff." But,
right, and that's what that's there for. We'll make sure to run that today.
yeah. There you go. But so I'm not saying like go out and do it. I'm just saying that as a high priest, I can't, in good conscience. Tell people, don't ever try anything like that, because it worked for us, but then I also had enough self-control where, once I saw that, I was entering the law of diminishing returns, that, what I was getting out of it wasn't that productive anymore, and it was kind of becoming just either routine or just pleasurable, from then on, it kind of becomes habit forming, and then it can slowly destroy your life, if taken
too right.
Far. So that's
I want to actually outline another experience that I had, and I'm going to put this in contrast to my own personal experience. I had a friend in high school who made claims that he was, he was an experienced tripper, and that, he had done LSD before, and me and the group of friends that I hung out with at that point in time, all, because I knew a chemist who made the stuff and was good friends with him, we all went and picked up a fresh batch, a fresh sheet of acid, and, we went back to my house. Now, mind you, I'm 16, 17 years old at this point in time. And we were all tripping. And my friend, the one that had claimed he had experience before, he took a what was referred to then as a quarter hit, which was four hits of LSD all in one piece. It was a pretty potent dosage. The evening ended with him sitting on my couch, having broken the line of sanity and he was rocking back and forth asking if we had made it and if he won. And he just kept repeating that over and over. His eyes were huge and dilated. He was pouring down in sweat. It was so bad, in fact, that my mother took notice that it was going on, and she ended up calling his father. Now, thankfully, his father just came and got him and took him to get medical help, and no legal ramifications ever came from it. But, I guess the contrast here is that it is not for everybody. And
yeah.
You are taking a major chance, the first time you do it. Playing roulette.
Take too much, or I'd say when you're in an environment that you don't really feel that comfortable or safe in, or if you combine any kind of drugs with, say, driving or operating heavy machinery, or or doing something like that. Yeah, that's definitely a warning sign. And, wait for if you do it, wait for the right time. When you're amongst friends or people you trust, and start with a little tiny bit. If you don't feel anything the first time, then, chalk it up to, you just getting your feet wet or something. But, don't just, try to do the maximum potency, right away for anything. I don't even care if it's aspirin. I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, I'm affected by stuff a lot, whatever it is, it could be cold medicine or whatever. So I usually end up taking, even to this day, a half or 50% of the recommended dosage of whatever it is, because, I'm very susceptible and, sensitive in that way. And I'll feel it, even if I'm taking half of something, I'll feel it. So, yeah, that's crazy. Take four hits at one time, that's at the point where you may never come back. I mean, I don't know.
Right. And to be honest with you, I knew him for several years afterwards, and he just was never right again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we got a caller.
Ring, ring.
In the house.
Ring-a-ling-ling. Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
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 What's going on, guys?
Not too much.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, I guess. Just too much coffee again, But that's about it. Yeah, it's just sometimes I get a little too jittery if I have more than three cups of coffee one day.
I can understand, so. Yeah.
It's a drug. It should be illegal. But no, I'm just kidding. I think it actually is a drug, though. Isn't caffeine considered a drug? It's just to some extent.
It certainly is.
Some ratio.
It's a stimulant.
Yeah, yeah.
As a matter of fact, caffeine is, in its raw form, is used by certain Indian tribes as a type of spiritual journey. So.
Ah, I went down that Indian shamans, use it in. There's a lot of herbs that they use in trance states, Never really looked too much
right.
into that, though.
Have you guys ever seen the film Altered States?
No, I don't
it sounds really familiar.
It's from the 80s. It's got, I think, John Hurt in it. He's like a scientist, and he goes with a friend to this tribe, and he tries this ceremonial drug drink. This elixir or whatever, and he just kind of goes bananas because I guess he took too much, and that was his first time. And but ever since then, he's connected to something. He has weird visions, and his consciousness is dangerously open to outside forces and things.
Wow,
and
that sounds like a visionary kind of film.
It's quite something. I think. The first time I've heard about it,
It was probably on the, because there was a Temple of Set reading list and then a Temple of Set, like, viewing, like, movie, VHS, DVD list, kind of, like, recommended viewing for those people.
Speaking of the Temple, actually, I was going to ask you about drug use and the Church of Satan, like, because I know... I know that originally Anton LaVey didn't really condone drug use, although, you know, drinking wine and stuff, but that's not drug. But I was wondering, like, what your experiences were within the COS and, you know, sacramental drug use, or should I say, not sacrificial, but, yeah, sacramental ritual.
Well, I heard something very interesting, a conversation that he had with some rock star or musician or maybe movie star or something, someone like that, some celebrity that was famous.
Mm-hmm.
This was a few years before he died. The conversation happened.
Right.
And LaVey told this person that the rules were there for people that needed. And he kind of gave him like a sly smile or a wink, basically saying that, or implying that, you know, staying away from drugs is fine on one level, but then there are those people that aren't going to follow that anyway, and maybe can handle it, or could get some use out of it, and Anton LaVey wasn't going to be the guy to bar someone from doing something if they wanted to take responsibility for themselves and their consciousness and do something weird.
That kind of reminds me of what... my friend, Mike, who lives in Vermont now, he was really into hippie kind of bands, and, like, he listened to, but as an exception, he liked, he was really into, like, Frank Zappa, who was, like, you know, psychedelic shock rock performer.
Yeah.
You know, like, virtuoso guitar player, et cetera. And he mentioned something about drugs and alcohol where, you know, it's okay to use it, but it's the people that make it, like, you know, a dangerous thing, and that if it goes too far, obviously, you know, it's the people that just take it too far. You know, like, you have to know how much is your limit, and really he was saying it's because of ignorance, you know, because of ignorant people, you know, that becomes so dangerous. And, you know, I thought that was a good point.
Right.
That was a good point.
And I think also the dumb people ruin it for the rest of people, and not just with drugs, but really with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, just our society has to be so child-proofed and idiot-proofed because people just do the goddamnedest things, and it really does. It ruins it for everybody else. I mean, just like hitchhiking used to be okay, and then a couple people just decided to, you know, hitchhike and then kill the people that had given them a ride. And then all of a sudden, hitchhiking is bad, and now it's
illegal.
I've
always thought that's a pretty far-fetched thing to do, hitchhike, unless you have to.
Unless you have to
hitchhike.
And that's what I'm saying, because now it's got this huge stigma, and with good reason.
Right.
But before, like in the 60s, you know, probably some of our parents or friends of our parents knew, you know, hitchhiked across the country a few times. It was a lot more common, a lot more accepted, and a lot more safe back, like, in the 60s. But probably
but
at the very end of the 60s, probably the 70s, you know, shit changed, and things just got more violent and more weird and whacked out.
Yeah.
Vietnam might have affected things like that. I don't know.
But I was wondering about, you know, drug use and democracy. I mean, we're supposed to live in a democracy, right? But...
Right.
If we lived in a true democracy, what do you guys think? Don't you think that if it was a real democracy, there would be enough people, there would be the respect of people's opinions, enough of them, to legalize, say, marijuana? I'm not, like, for it. I'm not advocating that, you know, like, it should be legal. But
that's a great question.
There certainly are enough people
that
out there, you know. You would think it would be. Just because, you know...
Hmm.
The kind of world that we live in, you would think, you know, of all the... You mentioned suffering earlier on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would seem that because of suffering, people would want to alleviate that suffering and that, you know. But, you know what, what I'm against, though, why I really think it shouldn't be legal?
What,
I think it's because, you know, if you walk into a grocery store and there's, like, you know, like, pot candy, and, like, a little kid's like, yeah, mommy, I want the pot candy. You know,
right.
Like, that just wouldn't be cool, I don't think, you know.
Right.
If the kid's, like, 8 years old and, you know, he's trying to eat pot candy and stuff, you know. So.
Right.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you think it should be legal, or?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you rephrase the question?
Yeah, sure. Do you think that pot should be legal, or not?
Actually, yeah, I am a, personally, I'm a, an advocate for the legalization of marijuana, but not without, controls being put in on it, like alcohol and such, because as Avenger Satanist just pointed out shortly, the stupid people tend to ruin things. So,
yeah.
But I'm also a, I don't know, that kind of draws me back and forth between two things, because another one of my big things is that we should educate and not regulate.
Mm.
And, I think that's a very obvious notion, you know, rather than making, say, fireworks illegal because they could hurt people, if you teach them how to use them properly and have the proper safety in them, they can enjoy them, you know, 100% without any mishaps. But it's when people, you know, avoid common sense things like don't light something and then stand directly over it looking down at it.
Right.
You know, this is when, you know, we cross into big government needing to regulate, and it's unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah,
I would say some regulation, a lot of education and some regulation. I think most things need to be regulated because, well, part of me thinks that all human beings should be, like, in cages anyway.
People should regulate themselves, I think. They should have more just responsibility.
Well, ideally, yeah.
Period.
But unfortunately,
you know,
our species isn't cut out
for
that. Or at least maybe 75% of people can do that. But then what do you do with a quarter of people that can't? You, like, just put them away?
Set them
off
to an island.
Yeah. But actually, I want to get back to your earlier question, which I thought was actually a lot more interesting than the question of legalizing pot. And that's, you know, the democracy that we believe that we live in. I guess you have to ask yourself, like, do we live in a democracy? I mean,
feel like it all the time. It feels like socialism, honestly, a lot of the time.
Well,
it's starting to.
Some of the time, but I think a lot of it is very corporatized. Very corporate structure, and of course, most of our government is influenced heavily by corporations. And you know, you just gotta follow the money, wherever that is. People's loyalties lie, and so the politicians are, you know, doing what they're doing to get reelected, to get paid, and not to really serve the will of the people. But then you have to ask, like, do the people know best? You know, if 75% of people, you know, want to do certain things, does that necessarily make it right? Or
that's kind of like what we experience a lot now in some ways. But I think that if we had, like, say, a capitalist system where it's like no intervention, no, say, you know, divination from the government into our own lives, I think that in some ways would help, but it would also mandate a kind of anarchical kind of, I don't know, things maybe may grow kind of destitute if you didn't have any intervention from the government, you know?
I think if we go back to, like, let's say George Bush was president in the 80s, you know, we kind of had a Reaganistic Bush kind of capitalist deregulation, cowboy mentality.
I was, like, so young back
then. yeah, I was pretty young too. But if we did have something like that where corporations could pretty much do whatever they want and it was kind of like hands off, you know, laissez-faire, then I should be able to carry a gun with me anywhere I want. And if some, you know, corporate bigwig that makes like $200 million a year and he feels cheated by having to pay like 30% tax on that looks at me wrong, then by God, I should be able to shoot him right between the eyes, you know.
Right.
But if we're living in that kind of like kill or be killed, like Mad Max, post-apocalyptic kind of, you know, lawless zone of anarchy and freedom or whatever, you know, if he wants to exploit me, you know, I should be able to pistol whip him to within an inch of his life if I want to.
He should really
that,
be
that
so...
Be,
right.
You know, that would be fair. But
oh, I agree.
The
but
sort
he really
of
be so deceived, you know.
That these corporations have us under, I think, is obscenely horrible. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I agree.
If things don't make radical changes anytime soon, I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, another revolution of some kind. You know, a revolution of numbers, not necessarily of, like, basic freedoms and representation.
You know, I do agree that we live in kind of like a corporatized world, but the corporate, when you think about it, you know, say, if, like, you know, you worked, like, in a corporate place, like, you know, on, say, Wall Street, you know, it would be very cutthroat, you know, like what you, the requirements, you know, it would grow to be very cutthroat. And, you know, our in a democracy, luckily, most of the time, it's not too cutthroat, you know,
right.
it's affable enough where it's not like you don't have to worry about, you know, your neighbor ransacking your house for, you know, the last loaf of bread or something, or, you know.
Right.
But
right.
It may grow to be like that one day. Who knows if things get any worse, you know.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What do you think of, from what you know of current affairs and politics these days, what do you think of Obama, President Obama, and what he's doing with the country? Do you think it's moving in the right direction, or do you think he's making a mistake, or what?
You want me to take this first?
Yeah, sure, please.
Yeah.
my opinion is this. I think that as we're seeing things unravel, I think that his promises were misleading. I think that he's going to do everything he said he's going to do, but in the end result, what we're going to see is, that it's not really for the benefit of the individual or as he put it, for the middle class, but rather it's still a benefit for, you know, the larger companies, like this mandatory health care thing that he's got going on. Now everybody in the United States is, you know, required, or else they're subject to the penalty of the law. They're required to carry health insurance. And what has this done? This has, by default, you know, made it so that the insurance industry is just going to bloom into this uncontrollable monster. You know, whether it was motivated by that in the beginning or not was of little consequence. That is going to be the end result. And I think a lot of the things that you see Obama do are going to have the exact same kind of effect to them.
Hmm. Well, me personally...
What about this is a public option that bypasses the health insurance companies that we have now?
I think that healthcare should have... I think healthcare should be something like the Canadian government has set up, only without the waiting time that's there. It should be something that's a state provided thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you think in terms of, I think we're moving in that direction, but with a perversion to it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there's a lot of things that Obama said he was going to do, or,
yeah,
you know, I think that's part of his agenda. And then he doesn't quite get all the way, or he goes halfway,
yeah,
but kind of puts a non-Democrat, non-liberal spin on it. Like the whole Supreme Court appointments. I guess neither of those two women that he pointed to the Supreme Court are really true, like, Democratic liberals.
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of it is all. I mean, I hate to get behind him like, you know, that much, because I'm not really that huge of a Obama supporter. I'm more of like a libertarian and kind of a conservative. I'm not
right.
really on the Democratic lean of things, you know.
Right.
But you know, I think he's, you know, he's trying. It's just he doesn't have, like, so to speak, the troops or the army. And I don't mean like the actual army or Marines or anything. He just doesn't have the political, you know, battalion to kind of help back up his plans.
Right.
You know,
I see the whole Democratic Party as these days as the lesser of two evils. And, you know, I'm worried about, you know, if we have a majority of, you know, conservative Republican Supreme Court justices that, you know, they're going to take away abortion and, you know, it's going to be more draconian kind of, like, you got to stay in line and you got to do this and, you know, more of your freedoms are going to be taken away and, you know, pretty soon you can't watch porn.
It kind of
anywhere.
Is like that. It kind of is sort of like that in a way, because it's like telling us what to do. Well, we all have to get along. We all have to support each other. And we all have to do this. And even if you do
right.
it still doesn't work, you know. I mean, it doesn't
well, works to a degree, but
work as well.
It's not a perfect system.
Yeah. It's kind of like an issue with God. It's like, well, you know, someone could say, well, God's perfect, but we're not perfect. Therefore, he can only do what he can do. And it's kind of like that in a sense.
Huh. Okay.
You know? Like, well,
right.
since we're not going to do exactly what he wants, what can he do? You know, he can just keep doing
right.
the same thing. But
yeah, that's interesting. Well, we only got about, I'd say, 2.5 minutes left of the show. So, anything you guys want to end with, or?
Good question. Well, I can't really think of
Take
anything other than... only thing I'd like to say is I want that video of Dog May 20F getting his ass kicked uploaded to YouTube.
Indeed.
Yeah,
our next show is going to be Occultism and Music. That's going to be on the 22nd.
Right, and we'll have Dark Fool on. He's going to be our special guest.
Yep,
oh,
and
cool.
I think by next week we'll definitely have the new YouTube channel up and running, and that we can actually give you the address for that. So that should be exciting.
Right.
But in the meantime, you should check out the Cthulhu Cult Forum on cultofcthulhu.net. That's our main network hub, and you know, talk to us.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I'll try
cool.
to get you guys next
right.
week.
All right, thanks, man.
See you guys.
All right, you got it. So on.
All right, and here goes the outro.
Thank you for listening to The Use. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Use does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.